I, you know, between all the weather events that we've had and this and that, I feel like we're way behind. We're going to take three judges up tonight, okay? So buckle in. We're going to, if we get all panic stricken, turn to chapter 3. All three judges will be right here in chapter 3, okay? I give you a prelude, but to what's going on. But I think the chapter itself does. So we'll let the Bible speak for itself. But we'll let me pray for ourselves, Father. We here it is again, Wednesday night. Here we are gathered about Your Word, and we want to know what You have to say to us collectively as a church, individually. So speak loud and clear, and cause us to, I just, my spirit gets burdened that we don't just hear. We're not settling for, well, I got the download. We actually want to apply what we know to our lives in a way that glorifies You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Is that key? That's what I think it is. If there's a devil, why doesn't God just destroy him? It's not God's plan. God wants to test us. He wants to prove us. He wants to grow us up. He wants us to overcome. He wants to... This is it, if you ask me. These are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. You can't pass war on to your children. I don't think you can pass many of your experiences unless you... No, you can tell stories, and they may even be good stories, and it may be something that a child would take right to heart, perhaps. But I think, you know, going through something, there's no substitute for that. God knows that. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. That says all it has to say as far as I'm concerned. Now He's going to give us a list. Namely, five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which He commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. That's wrong. Those people, at very best, are supposed to be dwelling among the children of Israel, not vice versa. And that talks about an attitude, not a numbers. Not a number. We're living in this world. There's a lot more of them than there are of us. But is the world living in you? That's all the difference. It's all the difference. Children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites. And so what happens in a situation like that? Well, verse 6 happens in a situation like that. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their God. Now, when those mixed marriages come, idolatry comes. Well, how come you can't marry to a non-Christian and have them become a Christian? I mean, you got to serve God. Well, listen, this is what we'll do. Missionary dating. We'll encourage all our kids. Get a biggest, baddest unbeliever, date him or her, and bring him into the faith. My question is, why doesn't it work that way? Why doesn't it work that way? Where are they? When one of our young ladies or young men would date a non-Christian historically, we lose them. They go away. They don't come here. And they give me some lame, oh my goodness, lame. Oh, he had a bad experience at church when he was, oh. Wait a second. Let me get my violin out. By the way, I guarantee that happened. Did you ever have a bad experience at church? Only if you go to church. No, I went to people and they were just all stellar. They were saints. Each and every one of them were perfect. They didn't even have bad breath. They just had good breath. They didn't even, when they sweat, it smelled like roses. Everyone was wonderful in my church experience all the time. Of course they had a bad experience. You know what that means? It means nothing. It means an excuse. Why can't? Because this is what happens. And we always know this happens. If your German shepherd starts to run with a pack of wolves, he'll become undomesticated. He won't domesticate the wolves. You know that. You know how it works. And when we start hanging around, like, okay, it's one thing to, like, work with and rub shoulders with the world. We can't help that. We can't. Paul says, you know, if we didn't have anything to do with sinners, we'd have to leave the planet, he says. We'd have to go off world. Well, we know that. But socializing and integrating and trying to, you know, get along with them, it's a lot different than, you know, ministering to or working beside. It's a whole different thing. Who do you hang out with? Who is your, are they bringing you up or are they bringing you down? That's the thing. Well, you know, you start doing this intermarrying stuff, I'll tell you what will happen. I've only seen it 1,000 times. And they took their daughters to give them wives, and they gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Ho-hum. And that says, Exodus chapter 34, 16 says, when you go into the land, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't give their sons. I mean, we can read it. It explicitly says exactly that, because this is what's going to happen. When God says, listen, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And we do it, and that's what happens. Imagine our surprise. Because God doesn't know. He doesn't understand the human condition at all. We always have to explain it to him. And we always have to explain to God why we're the exception to all his rules. But we're not, and they're not. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And forget the Lord their God, and serve Balaam and the groves. Now, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Turn to Judges. I think it's three or four places in Judges, but I want to show you the last chapter of Judges. You hit Ruth, he went too far, right? Judges 21, verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the children of evil, the children of Israel, the evil inside of the Lord. Those aren't different things. You have to understand something. Those aren't different things. The children of America are doing what's right in their eyes, and they're doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. They're not doing what's bad in their eyes. People are an evil person today. And they will tell you how good they are as they practice their woke religion, or Gaia worship, or whatever, or their anti-Semitism. I never thought I'd see that one. Wow. Never thought I'd see that one. But they're doing good in their own eyes, and they're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. How do you and I know? Well, because God said so. And we don't care what it looks like in our sight. We care what God says what it looks like in his sight. And we do what looks good in his sight, and we're doing good. Okay? It's really pretty easy when you think about it. We're watching some silly show that we're enamored by, and the mom's telling her daughter who's married, just follow your heart, sweetheart. And I said to Sue, her desperately wicked, deceitful above all else heart. We know, right? But children of America don't know. This is the whole thing. This is the nub of it, the crux of it, if you will. Do what God says not to do, and it's not going to go well. And here it is. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God. And when they say forgot, it doesn't mean like they had a memory lapse. It means they set him aside. You won't wake up Sunday and say, what do we do Sunday? Didn't we used to go someplace? I don't know, wasn't there somebody involved in that that we worshiped? You won't do that. But does that mean we won't be faithful to the Lord? Hey, again, I've got 1,000 illustrations I could point to. Okay? They forget the Lord their God, but that doesn't mean they're not worshipers. It never means they're not worshipers. They serve Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them in the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. That's bad. It's double bad. That's what his name means, double evil. You got a footnote or anything like that in your Bible? His name means double evil. I'm wondering, I got to talk to his mom. Hey, Ma, what was the thought process here? Really? Really? Listen, you got to be really bad before God sells you into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. That hurts my heart. 8 years? You live to be 80, that's 10% of your life. If you live to be 160, it's still 5% of your life. I went right to 160 because easy math, okay? It's a big chunk of change out of your life. You know, it's like, you know what reminds me of Jonah, right? He's going down, getting swallowed. At some point, I'm looking at some tonsils and I'm crying out to the Lord. You're uncomfortable. You're for all intents and purposes dead. I ain't going. But for 3 days? Really, Jonah? Is this big fin come up and his big mouth open up? I'm, oh, Lord, save me now. I'll go. You know what I mean? Well, 8 years. How come what? Me and Sterling were talking about the service for that. Some people just never, you know, talking about people who, I'm not going to mention names or anything for on the air, but people never take off the monkey off their back or never get right, never get 8 years, 18 years, 28 years. And then you wake up, your life's over, and you, what's that all about? 8 years. When children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Now that's why we were introduced to him. He's quite a guy. His name means the Lion of God, right? He's the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, I know you just say, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Well, that's cool. That's the first time that phrase is used in the Bible. Okay, the spirit of L-O-R-D. Yod Hey Vav Hey. Stand prevail against Cushan-Rishathaim. I'm glad because I'm getting tired of saying his name. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel the son of Kenaz died. The land of rest had how long? The land of Israel had rest how long? 40 years. Does that tell you anything? When you think of 40 years, you can't get this question wrong. Just what do you think about when you think about 40 years? Yes, Egypt. But behind that, don't think of 40. Well, yeah, you got to think of 40 because that's the question. What is a generation? That's what I think about. Because that generation passed. Hey, listen, I ain't ever going to do that again. That was hard sledding right there under Cushan-Rishathaim. That was servitude. We were free men. All of a sudden, we were slaves. No. I ain't going through that again. So for 40 years, they had rest. And with that rest, you got to understand, they probably served the Lord. Because when they don't, every situation reacts. Now, I don't want to discourage you. I know we're right into the 10th day of the year, and none of us have sinned in 2024, not even a little bit. Our thoughts have been perfect. We've maintained perfection. Just the whole... Because here's the thought. we can really think in terms of, I sinned. The other day, I really, you know that day, by the way, I'm sorry, honey, when I snapped at you the other day, I was just out of sorts. I had a bad day at work, and you know, she asked me, and I just yelled at her, and oh, I shouldn't have done that. I know, right? I'm sorry, babe. And so now, anything that happens to me negative, well, because I yelled at her, and I shouldn't have done that. And you know, you can do that forever about everything, and there's never going to be any blessing in our life. There's never going to be any good in our life. He can't, because we're ignorant slobs, and we're so bad, and we can play that game with ourselves. Remember this. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. I told you before, I keep short accounts. If I had snapped at her, I probably did. I don't remember. That's how casual I am about sin. I probably have this year at one point or another been short or abrupt with her or not as loving or kind as I should have been. I know you're struggling to believe that concept. You're just going to have to take that one on faith, right? But let's say that happened, right? And I can keep doing that and keep, because Satan's right there. Oh, now you're praying? Adam, now you're praying? You're praying to God who, by the way, loves Susan, so he's pretty upset with you right now, don't you think? And I can just, all the time, if I let myself, I can, oh, man, I can't, I'm just such a bad person. I'm just, stop it. That's satanic. That's Satan. That's not God. The Spirit of God moves us to repentance. We repent, and then it's over. It's done. It's under the blood all the time anyway. I don't think that, like, repenting in the sense of, like, Lord, I'm sorry for this or this or this, makes the sin go away. I think the reason that Jesus died for that, that made the sin go away. But I want to clear the air. I don't want there to be anything between, because I know how that is. Because let's say we did have a little dust up. Again, just imagine, okay, because I know this would never happen in your thinking, but just imagine we had a little dust up. And then all gets to acting like we've been friends right along without, and it was all my fault, and I just start acting like, hey, that was no big deal. You should forget all about it. Well, we're still married. We're still besties. We're still soulmates. We're still kindred spirits. All that stuff is true, except there's this little thing out there that I should probably just clear the air. Honey, I'm sorry. And then she forgives. Now we can move on, and everything's good. And I do that same thing with the Lord. It doesn't really change our relationship. I'm still His beloved son. He's still my heavenly and the vertical, because I love God with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, I'm trying real hard to, right? And I love my neighbor as myself. Well, I'm trying real hard to, right? So I want to act in appropriate fashion. I want to make sure if I offend somebody, I want to clear the air. If I offend God, I want to clear the air. With me and you, it may make a difference of how we go forward. Me and God, I don't think it really does in the sense of, oh, you sin, now I hate you, God says. No, He said, we're in a covenant relationship. From day one, I'm all in, God says. I will not leave you off. And unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and possessed the city of palm trees. Do you have a note about the city of palm trees in your Bible? Jericho. Does that hurt your heart? Tell me it does, at least a little bit. Okay. The Amalekites, wait a second. The Ammonites, Ammon, of course. The Ammonites came and possessed Jericho. You remember Jericho, where the walls came a-tumbling down? They crossed over. They had, they got circumcised, right? Right there, and they, you remember that they going around and blowing the trumpet and the wall, and they won up every man when they heard the trumpet, and they wiped out the whole city. And you remember Rahab, how she got gloriously saved and all her whole family? You remember that? You remember God? To us, Jericho was the biggest thing in our lives. It was symbolic of the biggest thing in our lives that was stopping us from inheriting the promises. Did you overcome your own Jericho at that time? Boy, you should have. I'd like to say I did. I think I really did. And now here it is. This one hurts my heart. It's like, By the way, it's still in, it's still an Arab city in Israel today. What's his name? Who we all know and love, huh? Amir Safadi used to be the mayor of Jericho when they handed it back. At the time they handed it back to, as they handed it back, handed it over. This is another servitude. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. When you think of served, think slavery. Paying taxes, and he's the boss, and we got to do things his way. Probably involves worshiping his gods, etc., etc. When children of Israel cried unto the Lord, this time it took him 18 years. Hey, what's the thought process here? I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. I'm tougher than you are, God. I can wait you out. You'll cry, Uncle, before God will. 18 years, God, yeah, waste your whole life. It don't matter. Whatever. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up them up a deliverer. Because he always does, he always will. The son of Gera, a Benjamite. What does Benjamin mean? Ben is son. Son of my right hand. Now, some people say it means son of my strength. But those, son of my right hand, son of my strength, those are synonyms. Son of my right hand, he's left-handed. That's an interesting little point, isn't it? You know, we'll read later on, I think it's in the book of it's in Kings or Chronicles. There's like 30,000 Benjamites who can sling a stone with equal facility with their light, right or left hand. So now we got ambidextrous Benjamites. It's kind of funny to me that they mention that he's a left-handed guy. Left-handed, in Latin, that's sinister. When we think of left-handed people, somehow it's something sinister. I got a right-handed and left-handed son. My oldest son. He'd eat left-handed and stuff like that. And so we'd take the spoon out and put it in his right hand, and he slipped it right back in his left hand and went eating it. No, he was left-handed, right? It wasn't anything, you know, that's, some people just are. That's just the way it is. Do you feel left-handed in the right-handed world sometimes, even if you're right-handed? Like we don't quite fit? The world wasn't designed for us? I think so. I'm a minority within a minority within a minority. Remember that we found out it was only 3% of America has a biblical worldview. Like 21% of pastors have a biblical worldview. But I've always been in the minority. That's not a new thing. I'm always two left hands, you know, kind of person. Just adroit, no. Sinister, you judge. By him, the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. That's tribute, okay? That's their annual tax or quarterly, or however they pay. Because he had two judges as his first and last name. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges. Oh, my goodness, a two-edged dagger. Does that remind us of anything? Well, of course it does. It was about a cubit length, so think about 16, 18 inches, right? He did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. Why his right thigh? Because he's left-handed. It's over here. You draw a cross. He bought the present upon Eglon, king of Moab. Eglon was a very fat man. Now, don't get mad at me. The Bible says that, okay? I'm just reading the Bible. I think people who are overweight sometimes get a very bad rap. You can, Eglon is a picture of someone who's way out of control, and he's a picture of the flesh, which is never satisfied, never has enough. If you're as thin as a rail, then you're healthy. You might eat five or six times what a person who struggles with their weight. It has to do with metabolism and other things, and of course, good food choices help and things like that. But I'm just saying that he's a very fat man because Scripture says so. And again, I think he's a picture of the flesh. Someone who is, you know, think Jabba the Hutt. Never has enough, just And I think of, you know, Job is a, what was he, a slug or something? He wasn't human. He was just a big, yeah, kind of. Yeah, think of that. He's a very fat man. This is the only person in Scripture who has that, who's ascribed that. When he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away people that bear the present. But he himself turned again by the quarries that were in Gilgal. Now, it says quarries. Anyone have a different word? I'm looking at verse 19. Yours says quarries? Hey, Blondie. Stone images. That's what it is. Huh? Idols. Stone images. Idols. He turned again by the idols that were in where? Oh, my goodness. That hurts my heart again. Gilgal, the place of circumcision. That's where headquarters was. When they crossed, they were at Gilgal. And now that's an idol-worshipping center? Are you kidding me? Listen, the reason we have these little spiritual tidbits, victory's gone forever. I remember Satan came and he tempted me, and I said, I stood on the Word of God just as surely as Jesus did in the Judean wilderness, and I sent him packing. Boy, that was a good day. The next time, I fell like a ton of bricks. Victory's on forever. You got to fight them. You got to fight them. You got to fight them again. Don't get too wrapped up in yourself if you have victory. You know, you didn't do that any more than the children of Israel beat up the, you know, Amorites and the Midianites and the Cherethites and the whatever. Cherethites is not one of them, by the way. Here he is at Gilgal, where the images are. And he said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king. So he sends all the others away. He goes that far. He goes back to the king, right, who's at Jericho. Gilgal's right there in the shadow of Jericho. Remember, it was headquarters for the children of Israel. They went from Gilgal to Jericho, watched around it, and back to Gilgal. It wasn't far, you know what I mean? I'm wondering, you know, if they got 2 or 3 million of people from coming... Coming back, the last few were still probably heading out, you know what I mean? Probably, it's close. And here it is, become an idol worship center. Jericho, that where the walls fell down, is his headquarters. That's no good. Himself turned, okay, he turned him from the quarries that were by Gilgal, to have a secret errand of the king who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. Ehud came unto him. He was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. Some of Paula, probably up on the roof where the prevailing wind. Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. So he stands up, respect. I have a message from God. That's his presence. Ehud put forth his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. How come he wasn't frisked? Doesn't this guy have any people around him? Of course he probably was, but they probably just checked, oh, he's okay, he's clean, because they were lazy or indifferent or whatever and didn't think he would be left-handed. It'd be hard to come up like this and, you know what I mean? With a gun, it's okay, but because you have it, you know how you see the belt down low and you kind of almost at arm's length, you know what I mean? You can't be up in here and you wouldn't be a quick draw. So he takes his knife out, his dagger, from his right thigh. He thrusts into his belly. And the haft also went, me and Susan were talking about this on the way down, the haft also went after blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly. And the dirt came out. Now, the blade went in, the sword, little sword went in, and the dirt came out. That'll preach. Okay, you have on your wall, you have, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua 24, I don't know, 15, 18, somewhere there, right? You got that? Good. It's a good verse. You should have that. This is another one you need, right? You won't find it in the store, so you have to have somebody make it up, somebody who's handy with wood burning or something like that. Make a little poster and hang it up, right? The dagger went in, the dirt came out. People don't have dirt in their belly. Enough said? Okay. But that's what will happen. I encourage people to read the Bible. The dirt will come out. It's living. It's powerful. Sharpens a two-edged sword. You just avail yourself of it. Just make it there. God knows how to use it. It's not how well you read. You know what I mean? Now, to be sure, I want to be engaged. I want my mind there. I want to pray. I want my heart. Lord, what do you have for me? Speak to me. I'm right here. I want you to speak to me. To be sure, it's a good thing. Just receive it. Just let him get the dirt out. Ehud went forth through the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked him. When he was gone out, his servants came. When they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in the summer chamber. He's relieving himself. The euphemism, covering his feet. And they tarried till they were ashamed. Nobody takes that long, is what they're saying, right? And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor, because they're knocking, hey, king, come on, open the doors, we want to come in. You know, obviously he's on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries and escaped unto Seirath. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after them and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab and suffered not a man to pass over. They're right there at Jordan, right? Right where? It's Gilgal. So he blows the trumpet, they get there. So they kind of leapfrog. Here's Jericho, here's Gilgal, here's the Jordan River, and they get down there. So you ain't getting back home. You're going to have a bad day now. You think you can come in here with impunity and take over God's people? Well, guess what? God is engaged now, and you're going to have a bad day. So that's what the fords, they couldn't cross back over to Moab. Moab, is, of course, in southern, what's today, southern Jordan. They suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. Lusty there just means able-bodied. They're men of war, okay? They've all seen duty. God gives them their props. It doesn't matter. God's working on Israel's behalf. There escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Why 80 years? The word of God, the double edged, because that's when you discover that, like you did at the time of Jeremiah, you know, when they Josiah the king, they discovered the word of the Lord, and he was the best king. He just availed himself of the word. You know, they came, they read to him, what happened? He tore his clothes and he repented. And he said, you know, the whole kingdom's repentant. And he led the children of Israel. I think it was the best time, the very best time. It was too little, too late, as far as God was concerned. He was the last good king. It went bad, went downhill really fast after that. But you want to avail yourself of the word of God, it will go well. It will go well. He'll diagnose. He'll fix what's ailing you. How do you know that, Adam? Because he fixes what's ailing me. I'm just like you. I'm walking through the world. I'd probably be involving myself with things I shouldn't sometimes. I'll listen to news or entertainment or a podcast or something that won't settle quite right. I'll buy into the world's way of thinking sometimes to one degree or another. I'll I do things I shouldn't. I'm sullied. I get my feet dirtied by the word, by the world. And Jesus here says, hey, let me wash your feet. And he definitely will do that. He definitely will. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, he says. Will the word clean you? Yeah. What else? Nothing that I know. Not like that. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But the word. And so I don't even know what's wrong. See, you know, I go to this like men's club. They go to the East Coast Pastor's Club. They go to like something like this. I especially some place like East Coast Pastor's Club, especially if it's like more than a day. But God will do it in a day. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't diagnose. I don't drill my own teeth. I don't have that capacity. Somebody could probably look at me, somebody who knows me and knows the word, and say, yeah, this is what your issue is. Put their finger right on. Maybe that can happen. But God always does. What does he use? His word. Does he ever not? That's why I always go to the men's conference every time I have the opportunity. And I say, yeah, take a day off work. It's that important. Yeah, do that. Yeah, if you're going to lose a couple $100, go get fed. Have God fill you and teach you and tell you. And otherwise, if I, you know, every time something like that happens, I run in the other direction as fast as I can. And I just spiral down. And like I said, just like everybody else. I have the word come in. By the way, I'm singing to the choir. Literally, I mean, you guys understand what it is to have the word. I mean, here it is, Wednesday night, and you're here, availing yourself of the word of God. After him was Shamgar. Listen, Shamgar's got one verse, okay? Third judge. And we're gonna get this done. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath. They don't exactly know what Shamgar means, and they don't exactly know what Anath means, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. We know that much. And he also delivered Israel. Now, let's go to chapter 5. Talk about Shamgar here. This is the song of Deborah. Then sang Deborah in chapter 5, okay? We'll cover this next week. But I want to show you something. Verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath. So it's a saved guy, right? He killed 600 men with an ox goad. 600 Philistines. An ox goad, yeah, it's a long pointed, you jab your ox with it when he's not moving. He'll move. It's what Saul was kicking against, according to Jesus. You can poke that ox all day. He can kick. He can hurt you. You're far enough back. You get a long enough pole. Poke, poke, poke. You better get moving. I don't know what your problem is, ox, but we're plowing his back 40 today, so you better get. And on this side, it's got a little bit like of a spade, so when the blade of your rototiller, I was going to say, of your plow gets, you know, full of mud, you can work out with the other end. That's what it is. That's all it is. Okay? Why did God tell us that Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad? In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways weren't occupied and the travelers walked through byways. The city streets weren't safe. Boy, it sounds like Oakland, Chicago, any major metropolitan place in America. The highways aren't occupied. The travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the village ceased. They ceased in Israel. Until that I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. Oh, mother bear, I get it. I totally get it, Deb. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Why? Because they chose new gods. Was there a shield or spear among 40,000 in Israel in the days of Shamgar? No, but there was an ox goad. So what we'll find when we go through this is the Philistines took away all their, they de-armed the population. That is always shows God's divine disapproval. I hope you have a gun. I hope you have a couple of them. I hope you have an equalizer in the house. So when somebody breaks in, they're going to have a bad day. That de-arming, that's a reproach. That's what happened. The Philistines took away all their weapons. They were way ahead in metallurgy. If they even had ox goad or something like that, they had to come to the Philistines to get it sharpened. One guy had an ox goad. They didn't have it. So it says, was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 Israel? The answer is no. Well, Shamgar was there, an ox goad. What can God do with one man with an ox goad? Well, he killed 600 Philistines. The enemies of the Lord, think again in terms of spiritual. Because I don't know if you want to kill Philistines. I don't even know any Philistines. I know the ancient territories. There are people living in there right now. Israel's taking care of them, though. They attacked. It was rather a bad day, October 7th, and Israel's cleaning up that area, that Philistine area. But they ain't really Philistines, not in that sense. But you can kill the enemies of the Lord with the ox goes. You know, I can't speak. I made the tongue. I know who can speak and who can't. What's that in your hand? The staff. All right, we'll use that. Throw it down. Oh, snake? Yeah. Okay. We'll use that. What's that in your hand? I think of this often. What do you got there, son, little kid? What do you got? Oh, I got a harp. I got a staff. Got the tools of a shepherd. Oh, a shepherd king. Well, I can use that. What's in the other hand? Oh, a sling. Boy, this is shaping up to be pretty good. Okay. What's that in your hand? Oh, a guitar. I wonder if I can use that, God says. I bet he could. I bet he does. My thinking. Adam, what's that in your hand? I don't know, Bible. God says, I think I can use that. I think I can even use you, just as you are. I mean, we'd like polish. We'd like to think you spend some time studying stuff, which I do, by the way. But he uses me. He uses this. I don't care where you are, what stage of your life, does God want to use you? Yes. Yes. Now, I want to tell you something else. Because that sounds like, I've got sons. I've got grandchildren. Some of you do. I don't want to use them in the sense of, well, I don't have a will. I don't have a message. I want a fellowship with them. Just to be with them, that's the big thing, okay? That's job one. But we say, Lord, use me. I see all these great, deliverers. I see how you've used people in the past. Use me. There's none of us who are, that he won't use. We will, because we'll listen to Satan, we will say, oh, he can't use me. But he doesn't say that. I don't care. I don't care if you're Shamgar, what do you get an ox goad for anyway? Because he's plowing, he's working, he's a farmer, for goodness sake. God says, hey, I got a plan. That's something I want you to do. I read something like this, I think, all right, Lord, here I am. I dedicate me to you. New year, new start. Last year, did it work out exactly like I hoped it would? No, I'm still on earth. I was kind of hoping I'd hear a trumpet blast and we'd all be celebrating on the other side. Obviously, there's work to be done. Obviously, he has something left for us to do. The gospel is not in being embraced by the masses here in America. That doesn't mean we stop trying. That doesn't mean some people aren't getting saved. I was talking to a friend yesterday at work, and I hadn't seen him for a couple weeks because I was on one side, he was on the other. I saw him again, and I said, hey, how you doing? He's born again, and, we worked together one day. It was a really good day. Just fellowship and good stuff. And I asked him how he's doing. Yeah, my partner, he's been asking a lot of questions, and I've been, discussing my faith with him and stuff. And I thought, oh, good. Kid's like 18. Good kid. I mean, as far as I know. I'm thinking, man. So I started praying for him. And I thought, boy, I hope I have a chance to talk with him. By the way, I really want my podcast in the worst way on the... I know like about 80 people. I don't know. I know a lot of people. They listen all day long stuff, all day long. And I say, hey, I got a podcast. Like I send them the link and maybe it'll catch on. I know some people will listen to that. So, dedicate yourself to the Lord again. I would. Fresh and new. Why not? And will he use us? I'm certain of that. I am certain. If you're not certain of that, then borrow my certainty. I am certain of that enough for the both of us, for all of us. He wants to use us. He will. We want to serve the Lord. We want to worship the Lord, job one. We want to fellowship with the Lord. That's what he wants. That's what we want. And we want to serve him. And that's what he wants as well. I can't imagine him saying, no, I didn't mean you. Come on. You believe that? That's Satan. That's Satan talking. That's Satan telling you that. Let's pray. Father, I can't dedicate other people to you. I can dedicate myself to you afresh. But most days I just have electrician tools in my hands. And Lord, I want to work for you. I want to tell others about you. I want to work in such a way that honors you. And Father, what I want to do is less important than what you want me to do. So Father, I pray that you will take this offer, as I trust others are as well, and tomorrow be a new day of service. Show us right away how we can make a difference in the lives of others. Others that you so love that you sent your only begotten Son to die on a cruel cross to save them. Help us to be focused. In Jesus' name, amen.